Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You are listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast, where food and sports clash at the goal line. Here are your hosts, Spencer and Michael.
All right, buddy, welcome back to another episode of the 23 Personnel Podcast. I'm your host, Spencer. And this week, this episode is quite a bit different from what we normally do. We are joining a giant mashup collaborative podcast. Keith Abbott over at Guns Up Nation, Guns Up Podcast invited us, as well as Keith Patrick of the Dinger Derby Podcast and Jackson of Ramblin' Raiders. Very grateful for the opportunity we had to join them. But before we get to that, guys, you know, as a true football fan, Patrick Mahomes will keep the Chiefs in the game. Every weekend, our favorite Gridiron Warriors put their skills to the test, so why aren't you doing the same? We are almost to the end of the NFL season, but now is the time to get off the sidelines and get in the game with MyBookie. MyBookie is the premier place to bet on all your favorite pro and college football action every weekend. They always have the most up-to-date lines and the most prop bets of any sports book on the planet. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and bet with the best at MyBookie. Best part is if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. That's right. If you put in $1,000, they will give you $1,000. That's double your initial deposit you can use in all your favorite picks. Use promo code CHAIR to activate the offer. That's promo code CHAIR, C-H-A-I-R, to double your cash. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Now, let's get to the episode.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to a really special and neat edition of a mashup of several podcasts. This is Keith Abbott, and I'm just basically going to be the MC for the evening. We have four very special guests on our podcast, and I want to go around and introduce each one of them and let them talk a little bit about what their particular podcasts are and something that's unique about those podcasts. And we came up with this idea because, you know, there's a lot of neat support for Texas Tech out there. And I frankly love each one of these podcasts very much. I listen to them weekly, or at least whenever baseball season is, Keith. and so I've just really enjoyed it. And I just thought, you know, a couple of months ago, I'm like, man, we need to have just a cross-pollination thing. There's enough days in the week that we can all have some good listens and hopefully some good laughs from listeners and enjoy and just have some good banter back and forth. So really appreciate you all coming on. We have the Ramblin' Raiders, Dinger Derby, 23 Personnel, and Guns Up Nation podcast. And I will start with actually probably the smartest guy on this podcast because he's decided to niche his show. And so he has seasons that he can jump in and can take a break here and there. So Dinger Derby, Keith Patrick, welcome, man.
Hey, thanks so much for having me again, guys.
Man, it's always good to talk to you. Tell us a little bit about Dinger Derby. Tell us about your goal with the show. What your plans are for the future for the season?
Yeah, so I enjoy Tech baseball, and it's always been kind of a number one for me. Actually, my brother-in-law played baseball at Tech, so even back to my undergrad days, you know, when he was dating my sister and stuff, just kind of being excited about the program and paying attention even, you know, in the rough years. And I just kind of noticed looking around, I listened to a lot of good podcasts, more and more Tech podcasts coming out, but just news about baseball was hard to get, you know. I listened to every national pod, and you know, you just kind of waited for like a little mention of Tech, and I would get mad. I'd call them out on Twitter when they didn't give Tech any love or anything. You know, there was a time where Tech was in their top five and they skipped over them and didn't talk about them. Talk about the top 25, ignored Tech. So I just thought, you know what, forget it. I'm going to do it myself. And Started Dinger Derby last year and went through the whole season, and actually just recorded yesterday with a couple guys, do a little bit of a fall report.
Awesome.
But you're right. It's nice having one sport to focus on, kind of one set of relationships, one, you know, season that I'll record through, and then I get to take a little bit of a break. Although I'm also, like the 23 personnel guys, I'm part of Staking the Plains and do a little bit of writing there, and I post the podcast there, and have kind of called it home for a little over a year now.
Yeah, and really that's how I came to know you, is through the 23 Personnel podcast. So kind of fun, and you've been on several episodes in a former podcast life that we had, and really glad to get you back on and visit with you again. Appreciate you being part of this mashup, man.
Yeah, it's a crossover, man.
Absolutely. It's a big event. Everybody's doing it these days.
That's right.
Awesome. Thousands of listeners.
That's right. I mean, we're going to at least have one, so it's good. So yeah. It's probably going to be me, but that's okay. So we're going to pass it on to Jackson Griffin, the Ramblin' Raiders podcast. What's up, my man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having me on.
We said we were going to start this show off in style, so we've got a soundbite that we have to hear to make this right if we're listening to a Ramblin' Raiders podcast. Am I right?
Yes, absolutely. And it's something that, you know, we are proud of, and I don't know, it's everybody pods differently, but I'm happy to be on here with you guys, and I'll say cheers.
There it is. There
nice.
It is.
Now
the signature pop.
That's right. Now we're real, and according to your Twitter, the over under on this pop is 5. So
yeah, I got 4 to go, so I better start hurrying
better
up.
Get going.
Yeah, I'm thirsty now after hearing that.
I know, right? We're going to take a break. We'll be back in 5. No, I'm kidding. So Jackson, tell us a little bit about Ramblin' Raiders, how this thing got started, and kind of what your specialty is. You've got a lot of neat things going on over there. So share with us.
Yeah, you know, it was something that my buddy Nick and I, recent Texas Tech graduates, thought of after he graduated 2 years after I did and moved to the Houston area. And the way my work schedule gets lined up, I have 5 months of pretty, you know, I'd say an intense workload here at the Capitol in Austin. And then the rest of the year, I mean, a year and a half, I can't complain. It's really the best schedule you could ask for, but it's extremely boring during the interim. It's a downtime. And so, you know, I was listening to different Texas Tech podcasts. I had also listened to 23 Personnel. And, you know, I have to admit, you know, to Keith, that I'm not as big of a baseball guy, but I have listened to Dinger Derby since, and I enjoy it. And, you know, I'm kind of a fair weather baseball fan. As soon as Tech got good at baseball, all of a sudden I became a diehard college baseball fan. So
hey, man, why not?
Yeah,
that's when I became a basketball fan.
Exactly. Yeah, you just kind of switched over. Yeah, you and me switched places there. It's but so I was listening to 23 Personnel and some of these other podcasts, and thought it was interesting and would be something that would be fun to, you know, have as a hobby and get started. And so Nick and I just, you know, bought some equipment and kind of just winged it going into it. You know, didn't really have an idea of what we were doing, and you know, we're kind of the new kid on the block. I know 19 episodes in, but we've really enjoyed it, and I think we have a pretty good structure to kind of what we're doing, and so it's been a lot of fun.
It's a lighthearted, fun show, and I enjoy it. I enjoy it.
I mean,
lot,
you know, so. You know, whenever we're popping tops, it's gonna be
good.
Not quite that professional.
And the more pops top, the funner it is. I'm telling
exactly,
you.
Exactly.
No, it's good stuff. So we're glad that you're on, and we're glad that we're getting to have some of our listeners listen to and introduce themselves to y'all's show, and vice versa. So it's really good. So. And we also have Michael McDonald of the 23 Personnel podcast. And I'm going to turn it over to you, Michael. Tell us a little bit about the show, how it started, and what things are doing over there.
Hey, guys. Really appreciate you having me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match.
Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Beyond, yes, this project, actually, the 23 Personnel Podcast, was really the brainchild of Spencer Rogers. He wasn't able to make it tonight, so y'all are stuck with me. But
we'll take it.
I appreciate that. And, you know, it was a little bit after the national championship game in 2018. He finally pulled the trigger on it. He'd been thinking about doing it. And the way he likes to tell everyone is that he roped me into it. But I think I've got the easy part because he does all of the technical stuff. And pretty much I just have to be there with a few thoughts, some very cold takes, and a couple of stats. But it's been a fun ride. You know, we're over 160 episodes right now. I've been going about a year and a half. Try to cover everything, you know, ranging from worst Thanksgiving food to if you think Tech's going to be an 8 seed in the tournament this year and in March, we kind of cover everything in between. So if you guys like to check us out, we're at 23 Personnel on Twitter. And Personnel is spelled with two N's and one L. I keep having to learn this over and over. You can follow Spencer at Punts Suck. He feels very strongly about punts.
Apparently.
Does not like his care style. For them. And you could follow me at Michael_LBK. And we just kind of, we've known each other through Staking the Plains website, which Keith's also a part of. And we have been contributors there for years. Yeah. And he'd been kicking around this idea. So we're glad to get it going, and we're appreciative to you guys having us on.
Oh, it's nothing about appreciative. It's just a good mashup for the four of us to get together. I'm real excited about this. So, and I'll tell you what, speaking of statistician, you were a beast on that last episode with all of the season stats. I'm blown away. So the other podcast group that's on right now is Guns Up Nation podcast. We have our special guest, Steve McKelkey. Steve, I'll turn it over to you.
Sure. You know, the evolution of the Guns Up Nation podcast actually started about almost 2 years ago, if I recall correctly. And, as a, podcast called the Testosterone Zone. Yep. And, was a lighthearted focused, podcast, and then evolved into a brief stint as Fearless Fans. And I guess what in September,
yeah,
Keith,
September. Yeah.
We united, with the Guns Up Nation fan page, and became the voice of the Guns Up Nation. So we're very honored and happy to have that opportunity. We have a lot of great guests on. We've had Kurt Langford, the Texas Tech Alumni Association president and CEO, on. A lot of Prosperous alumni, Rich Redmond, who's the drummer for Jason Aldean Band. We talk a lot of tech sports. We're not very good at it. We don't get into the deep stats or anything. We usually talk about how we hope they can win, and then they let us down again and all that good stuff. So. We've had a great show of Dr. Miller from the meat judging team.
Yeah, so, that was a great one.
So a lot of great shows out there. We certainly appreciate all those that are listening to us and playing along with the Pick 5 Challenge and the soon-to-be bowl game challenge and all that stuff. So it's a lot of fun. We enjoy it, and I'm glad to be talking to the rest of y'all.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. You know, that's kind of when I thought about this show. It's all about Texas Tech, but it's in different ways. You know, I don't know a better statistician on baseball than Keith Patrick. So I love listening to the Dinger Derby through the season. And then, like I said, the Ramblin' Raiders, the lighthearted fun, but you guys pay a lot of attention to detail with all of the different sports, not just football. In fact, it was your episode where you were talking about the meat judging team national championship, where I was like, oh man, I got to talk to Dr. Miller. I hadn't talked to him in a while. So it was good. And then again, when 23 Personnel comes on, those guys are statistician beasts when it comes to football. In fact, their last episode was just so great with the stats that they had. And so we listened to all of those, and we decided, you know, instead of just doing sports and kind of reinventing what you all do really well, we wanted to say, let's look at other parts of the campus. Let's talk about admissions. Let's talk about the cheer and palm squad. Let's talk about the meat judging team and alumni association. And we've, you know, it's kind of just done different things there. Pretty fun. So I'm really excited that all different podcasts are on here that can really specialize in different areas of Texas Tech. And that's the fun part, is we all support one thing, which is Texas Tech, and we're excited about that. So Appreciate you all being on. So as again, I'm the MC for the night. So what we have are basically four questions, and I'm going to avoid a traffic jam. I'm going to kind of just ask the question. I'll give a shout out to one person in particular, or one of the podcasts in particular. And then after they're done, we'll get some feedback from the rest of y'all. So first question I have is, and this is basically a recap of 2019. So I'm going to start with you, Jackson. So what do you think was this year's biggest success at Tech?
Yeah, Keith, for me, that's, you know, it really comes down to two things. You know, both of them, I'd say, are special to me. You know, basketball, just for the reason, I think I mentioned that earlier, that, you know, I played a little bit collegiately and before I got into politics, which I have serious regrets about now, you know, every single topic or conversation you go into with that never ends well. But I wanted to be a basketball coach, and I grew up the son of a coach. And so I've always had a really, you know, soft spot for basketball. And in my lifetime, you know, I've grown up a diehard Texas Tech fan from as early as I can remember. If you would have told me, you know, at any point that we would have in my lifetime would make it to a national championship in basketball, I would have told you were crazy. You know, I would have literally never believed that.
For
and
sure.
And so, yeah. And so for, you know, in Chris Beard's third year, for him to be able to accomplish that feat was just, and I actually, Nick and I, my brother Lane, got to go to the first game in Minneapolis against Michigan State, basically broke the bank. You know, it was worth it. Totally worth it for that first game, and then had to come back on Monday. But I just, that atmosphere was so electric in the downtown scene in Minneapolis. It's something I'll never forget, and I think was just truly special. And then quickly, I'll just touch on the second thing. You know, I mentioned I work in politics here at the state level in Austin at the Capitol, and this is something that I feel like somewhat goes by the wayside. I know, at least with students and probably some of the younger Tech fans, but people don't realize that the Texas Tech Vet School is a huge deal. And the amount of time and effort that was put into that by the, you know, Government Affairs Division at Texas Tech and the team that they have, I mean, I got to give hats off to them. If I need to go grab another beer so I can pop a top.
You should.
That's what I usually do to celebrate them. But, I mean, the work that those men and women put into going up here, or coming up here, I should say, and lobbying the legislature for the, you know, for the appropriations that they needed, you know, and to get that put in the budget.
Huge.
It was a hard fought battle. And, you know, I'll end it with by saying, you know, all my friends and coworkers up here that are, you know, diehard Aggies, all we heard was at the beginning of the session was, it'll never happen. There's no way. What John Sharp wants, he gets. He, you know, he runs his state, A&M, UT, blah, blah, blah. And it was just like, it was the farthest thing from reality to them. And the fact that we were able to crush it and get it done was just a slap in the face. And it, you know, it made for a lot of fun happy hours with those guys.
I bet it did. Yeah. I bet it did. Steve, Keith, Michael, what's your thoughts? Any others?
I'll jump in really quick. I mean, I think basketball is definite, and I agree with Jackson. I mean, the vet school is huge. I'm pretty involved in a lot of different things around Lubbock. I did a couple lobby days down there, and just around enough to know what a big deal it was, you know, as far as across the state and statewide politics. But I don't want to forget about, of course, baseball. I'm always going to want to talk about it. It was the best season in Tech baseball history. It's easy to look at another College World Series trip, but winning two, getting into that Final Four was a big deal too. But
yeah.
I think track and field was huge.
Oh, big
and
time.
It's funny today. Yeah. I actually read the letter that was put on Red Raider Sports after the Texas loss, you know, from a booster. And I read through that today, and it talked a little bit about track and field. And I kind of popped off on our Staking the Plains chat about that because I was frustrated because Wes Kitley came to Texas Tech the same year I did. My sister ran track at Tech, and I've seen that program grow and build. And I, for one, am appreciative of seeing how much Kirby Hocutt and the administration has put into non-revenue sports and Olympic sports and given them recruiting budgets and opportunities and staff and facilities and all that kind of stuff. And that paid off right there. I mean, there's a national championship. And I don't remember many times as a Texas Tech fan that I felt more kind of just pure joy than sitting there for that 45 minutes on Twitter and becoming like a super track fan, you know, and constantly sharing and updating as they went, you know, event by event. And then the fact that they're sitting there watching a kid, you know, toss that's going to end up winning the title. You know, this guy that was basically a nobody and had just worked his tail off for the Red Raiders. I thought that was cool, and
that
I thought
awesome.
It was a great moment for the university.
Oh, totally agree. Steve, Michael, anything else?
Yeah, I guess you think about, yeah, basketball was great, and I'm also a huge basketball fan, and I still lament Culver throwing up that three-pointer with a little less than a minute left because he didn't need to put up that shot, but I'm starting to get past that now.
Sounds like it.
You look at the just everything that's happened on campus from all the variety of sports success, the academic success, to the spirit team success, and you know, just all the great things. I would be challenged to ask anybody to find a school that competes better than us overall, and if that school exists, I don't know who they are. Yeah. And it's amazing just the culture that's on the Tech campus, just the continuous results and great things that always happen in Lubbock.
Agreed.
And you know, to me, that's our big success. We're not just a great football team. Well, we're not right now, but we're not just a football school.
Shape it things to come, my man.
So yeah, give us a couple years, right?
Yeah. All right, Michael, what's up?
Yeah, well, I wanted to throw football in there somehow because I couldn't help but notice we all neglected it there, and for probably pretty obvious reasons. But I wanted to talk a little bit. One of the highlights for me was our boy Pat Mahomes.
Oh man!
Oh yeah!
Taking the Patriots to overtime and just barely missing a trip to the Super Bowl in his first year as a starter.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, his campaign last year, MVP, his stats were just unreal. He's doing it again this year. I don't think they're quite as dominant as they were. Of course, he missed a few games from an injury, but the native son, spokesperson of McGavick Nissan, is making us all very proud. And I think that's one way we can kind of throw a little bit of football in on this really successful year across the board for Tech athletics.
What a great ambassador for Tech too. I'm telling you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Agreed.
Oh man. And yeah, and a little redemption for him with the Patriots this last weekend, right? So
that's right.
Not a bad
thing.
Goodness. Yeah. All right. So that's the best success we've had, or the biggest success in our opinions we've had this year. So Keith, we'll start with you on this one. What was your biggest surprise this year?
I did want to say while I stall, I wasn't aware that Patrick Mahomes played football. He was a baseball player.
That's so. Right. See,
yeah.
Coming from Dinger Derby, ladies and gentlemen.
Only you would say that.
No, I'm just kidding. But yeah.
You know, going back to football, I didn't know that we'd make a bowl game this year, but I have to give Wales a lot of credit. Despite the struggles of this team, they played a heck of a lot smarter with a lot less talent on the field than I think a lot of us expected them to. And the last couple games sort of just made you crazy. But, you know, really the first 4 or 5 weeks, you're like, okay, this is a much smarter team. They execute better. And to me, that's the early indicator that Wales is a good hire. And I don't know how the rest of y'all feel about that. But, you know, I just think that, you know, he made the most out of the talent that was available to him, knowing very well that, you know, it may not be a bowl season for us. And so I'm going to give him credit for that. It was a nice surprise. In a frustrating sort of way.
Yeah, so many close ones.
Yeah.
What, Jackson, Keith, Michael, what's your thoughts?
I'm trying to think. I guess I probably should have saved the vet school one for this this question.
I am also surprised that we got the vet school.
Yeah, there you go.
I was about to say, I'll admit, you know, as much as I boast now and you know, pound my chest about how we got it done, I will, like, coming into it, I was a little bit skeptical. You know, as Michael Scott says, I wasn't superstitious. I was a little stitious. you know, with if we were actually going to be able to get that done, there was a lot of talk and chatter on it. But just the moving pieces and really the uphill battle, what it was going to take to do and all the individuals that got brought in on it from, you know, different agencies and whatnot. So that was special. And then another pleasant surprise that I haven't gotten to test out yet because unfortunately I didn't get to make it to any Texas Tech games this year. I made the UT game last year, but kind of towards the middle there, I was looking at going to maybe TCU or K-State, and it just ended up falling through. But how about at the Jones selling some beer now,
there
some
you
liquor,
go.
Right?
That is surprising.
I mean, that's something I would have loved to have in college, but, you know.
Did any of us ever expect that to ever happen, right?
I was skeptical. You know, with the way fans are in Lubbock, I never thought I'd see the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about the rest of guys, but, you know, Keith Abbott and I, we had to drive out to the Strip to buy beer. Yeah. So
yeah. Oh, I was a Strip kid.
Yep, we were Strip associates as well.
The Strip associates.
Associates. Yeah,
it's crazy to think it wasn't that far removed.
So I've got a negative surprise.
Oh, let's hear it.
I think it's proof that idiocy still exists. And, you know, I love tech, and I want everything to be perfect sunshines and rainbows, but they're still stupid people. Firing Bob Duncan was an idiotic thing to happen at Texas Tech. Man. And I think Chancellor Mitchell's great, and I think he's doing a great job and, you know, huge feather in the cap. A couple, I mean, because he not only got the vet school, but the dental school went through as well, but for El Paso. But, man, Robert Duncan, a guy that served this area and Texas Tech for so long, and, man, that was a raw deal. And it, just by appointed shills, you know, that really just didn't represent what the university needed, I think.
Yeah.
That's a good call.
No, that is. I actually, it seems like so long ago from the legislative season that happened. But, no, I mean, that was one of those things that really blew up in the certain individuals that were on the Board of Regents that, you know, pursued that avenue. I think it kind of – the backlash was a lot more significant than they figured it would be. And, you know, it's losing a guy – or I should say losing an ambassador like Robert Duncan after all he's done for the area, for the school, and just as a senator, you know. I mean, he has a great track record. And, yeah, I agree. Actually, it's – again, I just – it's hard to – I can't believe that was not that long ago, you know.
Tell you what, proud moment though of him getting that standing ovation at the groundbreaking. Oh, yeah. So kudos. So, anything else, Michael?
I was actually surprised. I guess I can kind of say I called it, but not really. I thought that Tech had the talent to make at least the Elite Eight, possibly the Final Four. I thought they were going to get hung up by Duke, and of course, Duke. Right. You know, they went away before Tech even had to face them. But what surprised me the most was how thoroughly and efficiently Chris Beard's teams demolished these teams the way to the Final Four. I mean, we're talking,
no doubt.
It wasn't they just buzzer beater after buzzer beater. They beat Michigan 63-44. You know, they beat Michigan State by 10. They, you know, they beat Buffalo by 20. They were just plowing people over on the way there. So I was nervous before every single game. And the thing that just always blew my mind was when the game would start and just slowly but surely you'd look up, Tech would be up 10. They'd be up 15. Yeah. They'd be up 25 or something, and, you know, someone would make a run and kind of make it look a little closer. So that was probably what surprised me the most, was the fact that they dominated every single team. You know, Gonzaga was the closest game up until obviously Virginia, but that just blew me away how effective that defense was.
I just remember looking at the Michigan halftime score going, is that real?
Right. Yeah. It didn't seem fair. You almost felt sorry for him just for a tiny, tiny second. You almost felt sorry for him.
Almost. Never feel sorry for Michigan again.
No.
Not after baseball.
Right? Yeah, right. So think back, though. Think back to that Duke game in December and just the way you felt when all of a sudden they're up 10 and they're just rolling. You know, you're just dominating those guys. And Tech hadn't quite learned how to finish yet, I think. But the way they played most of that game, the fear on Mike Krzyzewski's face, that was what they did to people in the tournament. You know, you saw the beginning of it there. I mean, imagine just remember back to how surprised. I remember I was cooking dinner in my kitchen, like watching it on my laptop, thinking like, oh, my gosh.
Tech was up by one at halftime against Duke. And then it kind of unraveled in the last 5-7 minutes or something.
I think it was three minutes, maybe even.
Maybe it may have been closer than that,
I would say that game is when you saw kind of how special that team was and what they were going to be capable of doing.
I hope you know, that's a year ago, and we've got the big Louisville game tomorrow. Oh, yeah. We're recording this on a Monday night. So, man, let's hope we can do some good things there.
You know, definitely as talented as the team as last year's team. So, you know, this year's team just needs to learn to work together a little bit better and get that team work together. But the talent, I mean, Jamias Ramsey is just a beast, and I really like Holyfield. So, I mean, we've got some key players out there that I think can take us long into the tournament, but we've got to play kind well tomorrow together, to get that going. Yeah,
yeah, totally. Totally. All right. Good call. Good call. Okay. So I'm going to turn this one over to you, Michael. What do you think was your biggest disappointment this year?
Okay. Let's see. Where do I start? No, I'm just kidding.
I'm not, for the, with the statistician.
Just use Matt Wells Hire for every one of your answers, Michael.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Yes. Yeah. I know you really have a little thing there.
Leaving Holgerson on the tarmac was my biggest no. I think the fact that, you know, I predicted, more anticipated that Tech would win 5 games in football this year. I think most folks saw that it was going to be a bit of a struggle, kind of a rebuild. I think that's where we were headed, and most agree with that. But it was a little disappointing to miss that mark and to miss them so closely with a couple of, I don't want to say each game had a certain play that ruined it, but you know, punting late in the game against Kansas, just some kind of decisions towards the end of the wire in some of these games on fourth downs, running some fake field goals, some other things that didn't seem to be the most effective solution at that point. You know, if it's fourth and three, it just run the ball. You've been running the ball, averaging 5 yards a carry that day or whatever it was. But I think that's kind of what disappointed me the most, was that we ended up on the wrong side of all those close games. And I feel like there were a couple of semi-easy decisions from my admittedly very comfy quarterbacking chair that could have altered the outcome of those games. So that was probably my biggest disappointment.
Yeah, gotcha. Keith, what do you think?
I got to go to baseball on that. It was 2 losses to Michigan in the College World Series. I mean, a team that you had swept in Lubbock earlier in the season and just bodied. And you go up there and you lose 1-5-3, and it's frustrating, but you reel 2 off against great teams and you feel pretty good. And then you just get just demolished 15-3 and exit. And there's just no moral victory in that. That was just pure disappointment.
There wasn't.
You were out of pitching and they just destroyed you. And I was talking to Gus the other day, Mike Gustafson, and he was saying that they had their College Baseball Hall of Fame stuff in Baton Rouge this year, and he was talking to Coach Bakich, and he, to his credit, was just saying, man, coming to Lubbock and just getting smoked by the Red Raiders is what turned the season around for them. It showed them what a College World Series team looked like, how they behaved, how they played, what the – you know, the atmosphere was like, that kind of thing. And it kind of focused them. So I guess that's great. I mean, you can't smoke teams anymore, 'cause you're going to turn them into your own worst enemy, I guess, later on. But
right,
man, that was a rough one. And that's one that those that just leaves you desperate to be back and change that taste that's in your mouth. 'Cause it was an ugly one.
Agreed. What do you think, Jackson?
Yeah, I'd say, going back to what Michael's talking about, just real quick, anytime you go 4-8, obviously, and you know, I'm not off on Matt Wells. I think he's a great, you know, leader, has shown the ability to lead and motivate, and I'm excited to kind of see where we can go. But anytime you go 4-8, that's going to be tough, and especially losing to Kansas, I'm not going to lie, that one stuck with me for a while. It's just, I know it's an improved team under Les Miles, but like you were saying, Michael, I think late in the game, there was some questionable calls there. Again, you know, being the armchair quarterback that we tend to have to be as fans, but you know, that one was rough. But I want my main negative of 2019, which is it's kind of bittersweet, but losing to Virginia in the national championship game, man, in OT, that's just a game that you look at and you say, not only were we there and we competed with them, but we should have won that game.
Yeah.
Well, I say drain those free throws, and I thought that was it.
It was one shining moment. It was a match made in heaven. It was perfect.
It was beautiful. That absolutely was a movie. That's it. That's how you end the movie. The senior drains the free throws. Everyone comes, carries him off the court. Nope.
And you're just sitting there, you know, saying, if anything, I mean, I don't know. There's different thought processes on this. Do you foul and try to get it to Moretti and play the small ball free throw game, or do you, you know, the last thing you can do is give up a 3, and not only a 3, but to their guy who's been shooting it lights out in that game, Hunter. And it just, you know, you feel for the players and the community as a whole, Texas Tech community. They just, that was such a magical run and such a special time. The buzz and the atmosphere around Red Raider Nation was great. And I mean, honestly, if we would have won, it might have been a blessing in disguise, because Lubbock could have burned to the ground that night. I mean, we might not have a school anymore, so I don't know.
Broadway wouldn't have any more bricks, I guarantee you.
Oh yeah, the kids would be rising from the ashes on Broadway. So
yeah, for sure. Oh man, what a heartbreak.
Yeah, it was tough.
Steve, I know you feel that way.
Oh yeah, I mean, Jackson took the words out of my mouth. I mean, I was a little disappointed that Culver didn't shut down LeBron James last night, but you know, that's I would prefer that LeBron never scored another point in the NBA, but hey, yeah, that's not going to happen.
Shutting him down is a small task, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I thought Culver could do it though, but no. I mean, that basketball game. I mean, I'm still just, I haven't recovered. I'll admit. I mean, I usually try not to let college age kids affect my happiness in life, but that basketball game ruined me for a while. And, so
to this day,
I'm right there with you.
You just can't get over it, you know.
Yeah,
you
can't.
I'm not a super basketball fan, but I was at the USA doing the big watch party in a suite with my buddy, and man, it was just brutal.
Oh yeah,
you know, just,
I bet it was.
Oh, I can only imagine the air was just sucked out of that place. Yeah. So fast.
Well, and what was horrible, you know, they have the big screens dropped way down, you know, so everybody's watching. Uh-huh. There's probably, I don't know, there's maybe 8,000 people there, 8 to 10, something like that. I don't know. That may be too many. I don't know. But all the students came down. They were ready to rush the court.
Oh, you that's know? So
and,
bad.
And so everybody's down there, and then nope, go back to your seats. We're playing some more, and then
yeah. You know that whole game was a perfect mix of, I can't believe we're there, plus I'm pissed off we lost. And it's just
the way that team, they battled back, you know, just like, yes. I mean, they'd done all year, and it was one of those things going into it, you know, the way Virginia got there. I said, they're going to, you know, if the odds tell you anything, they've struggled all the way here. This is the game they're going to go lights out, and of course they did.
It never fails.
And yeah, it never fails. And as a Tech fan, you just know it's going to happen to you. But they still battled back, and they grinded, and just the way they came, like I said, you know, I forget the timestamp. It was we were up 3 under 23. I mean, if you give me those odds and with Chris Beard and that defense, I'm just, there's no way I think we lose that game. And unless they hit a prayer, which, you know, it wasn't a prayer. It was a wide open three, but it kills you, man. Like you said, you never want to rag on these, you know, on any college players in that regard, but it was just a tough pill to swallow.
It was. But tell you what, you talk about some legends. It'll be tech voices and names for years to come. Yeah. Pretty awesome group
absolutely.
Of guys.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, speaking of bright future, planting this seed for a bright future for basketball, let's start with you, Steve. What in the year 2020, what's one thing you hope to have happen for Tech?
You know, this is an easy one. I want us to have a football team we're proud of, and you know, we don't have to win we don't even have to compete for the conference championship. I just want to see us back in a bowl game, playing smart football, and have a team that just keeps the fans in the stadium on Saturdays, and that's really it. It's just win football next year.
Like it. What do you think, Michael?
Man, that's kind of where I was headed too, because we've highlighted all the other great aspects of the programs. They're in pretty good shape, guys. Things are all right in the other programs. I think it's possible that people may be a little disappointed with the basketball team this year. I don't think they should be, but I think they saw, well, you know, Tech went to the national championship last year. They should do that every year, but that's not what this team's going to be able to do. So I think it's going to be fine. This year may be a little bumpy. It's going to be fine, everybody. But really, just to piggyback on that, Tech has to make a bowl game. They've got to be competitive in the Big 12. Mm-hmm. They've got to win more than one Big 12 game at home. Yeah. And you know, even that game, the Oklahoma State game, was such a fluky game. That was Spencer Sanders. What other games are you going to turn the ball over five times? So I think it was just kind of fortunate that Tech walked away with that, and I'm sure Oklahoma State's thought that all year they're heading into their Bulls matchup against the Aggies. So I'm with you on that. I think that, you know, football is, of course, the cash cow. It's the big show. It's what everyone's really wanting to excel and do better. And I can't help but just echo that same feeling. I think at least a bowl game. And, you know, just because I question Matt Wells' coaching prowess on fourth down here and there and his inconsistencies there. I just wanted to go back and say it doesn't mean I'm not for the guy or anything like that. I think he definitely deserves his time to get things going and get things right. And a great start would be to win six or seven games next year.
Right. Yeah. But we're all frustrated. We get it.
Oh, sure. Sure, yeah.
I'm sure the players and the coaches are more than we are, but it's frustrating. So
right.
I'm with you. Hopefully we can turn that sucker around. So Jackson, what's your thoughts on this or what do you think about 2020?
Well, I'd say, you know, besides the obvious of continuing our meat judging dynasty.
Heck yes.
No, actually, you know what? I'm going to throw this over to kind of Keith's playing field. I, even though I'm not a huge baseball guy, over the years, I mean, from what I've seen from Texas Tech baseball, I truly do feel like Tim Tadlock has really built this program up into a powerhouse. And I think I obviously Keith would know better than I do as far as the X's and O's and, you know, ins and outs of our teams. But I really feel like in 2020 or, in the next 2 to 3 years, that like our baseball team is just knocking on the door of winning a College World Series. I mean, it seems like we're gradually getting better every year that we go, obviously with this year being our best outing, making it to the Final Four of baseball and coming up just against a hot Michigan team. You know, like you said, we swept them early in the year and then they started catching heat there towards the end. You know, I actually watched that. I was, can't remember, somewhere over maybe in Pflugerville. I was getting ready for a wedding and I watched it at our hotel that we were at, the Michigan game that we lost 5-3. And that was one that we were in it and just made some costly errors. I really felt like we could have won that game. And so to me, obviously Vandy was pretty dominant. You know, they have been the last couple of years, but I'm excited to see what this baseball team can do. I actually feel like they have one of the best shots out of all of our programs to potentially, you know, win a College World Series or win a national championship.
Right. Keith, he took your thunder, didn't he?
No, I was really just going to agree with – I was going to agree with football. I'm a football fan too, and I was going to toss in on football. Not only do we need to win home games, but they need to move the going band back to the student section.
I agree.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I'm an old, and I'm on the west side, and I want to hear them. But anyway, we're all going band guys, those that aren't. So,
yeah, that's right.
But anyway, yeah, no, you're spot on. You're spot on, Jackson. The D1Baseball.com, and I make no illusions of this, I think they're the best outlet in the country as far as covering college baseball. They do a great job. And they've just taken to now, like, is this Tech's year? You know, it's just a matter of not if but when for Tech. I mean, the what Tadlock and J. Bob Thomas and Matt Gardner have built is unbelievable, and there's others on that staff too. And like the JUCO class right now for next season is ranked number one in the country, and I know for a fact that J. Bob Thomas thinks that he can get those guys on campus. He's not going to lose them. And so yeah, it's really just a matter of when do the pieces fall in place, when do you get a little bit lucky, and when do guys step out. And this season I think there's a few more questions. There's a lot of new faces, and you lost some really senior guys and a top 10 draft pick in Josh Young, but it's once again a reload. It's once again a chance to couple freshmen, you know, really put it together. You move some guys around, you find the special mix, and then all of a sudden something happens again. So I hate it. I hate the wait and see, but it's a long season sport and you just kind of have to wait and see what's going to happen. But yeah, they're something else. I mean, it's crazy. I looked back today at when we hired Tim Tadlock as an assistant. He was the associate head coach. They hired him from OU. He was the best recruiter in the Big 12. They paid him $190,000. And
wow.
He only made $30,000 less than Dan Spencer as the head coach. And now he's one of the few coaches in the country that makes over $1 million.
That's amazing.
So I think it speaks to what they saw in him from the very beginning, that you almost pay him the salary of your head coach. And he made him the highest paid assistant in Big 12 baseball at the time. And now it's obviously paying off, but yeah, I mean, that's nothing. Nothing's ever going to be higher on my wish list in any year than a national championship in baseball or a chance to go to Omaha again.
Oh yeah, I tell you, every year with that, so many players get drafted, and I'm like, how in the world are they going to, you know, go out and do it again? And they do. It just keeps repeating. It's just amazing. just amazing.
I think that's a testament to Kirby Hokut too. I know we haven't touched on him yet, but I mean, what he's done at Texas Tech over these last couple of years is nothing short of phenomenal.
Yeah, very, very good guy, and I hope his legacy isn't that about football.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I've heard you probably have heard these bounce around too. But it just, you know, you don't want that to be. There's so many other great things going on, and football can even just get up to where it should have been before.
Just a bowl game,
you know. Just a bowl game, just something that kind of gives a little feather in your cap. I mean, he's done so good for Texas Tech. It's just so neat to see that. Yeah. So. Really proud of him. So those are the questions that I basically had. What is there any other comments or thoughts that you have about this year at Texas Tech that I haven't talked about or y'all want to share?
Well, here, I got one.
That's a good one.
That's about all I'm good for.
You know what?
It was perfect.
The Red Raider Nation understands.
I was saving that one. Yeah, football season. I think everybody got pretty acquainted with that sound.
Yeah,
for sure. That's for sure. Well, I tell you, one of the things that I like to do when we have guests on the Guns Up Nation podcast is we have five quick questions that we just basically ask them for a quick response answer. And it's not something you have to prepare ahead of time. You're pretty easy, straightforward, but it's just been kind of fun to hear the variety. So I'm going to ask each one of you these questions, and we'll start with the first one I'll start with will be with Steve. Okay. So Steve, if you were going to give a tour to a person who had never been to Texas Tech, where is the first place you would take them?
100%, that would be Stengel Beach. I mean, in the recruiting session, the job's done after that. I hope that place is still there, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's fun. Okay. All right, Keith, what about you?
I'm. That's a great answer.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, you can't top that.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to kind of use a twofer, but I'm a nerd. I mean, all the way around, I'm a nerd for Texas Tech. I love the history of the campus. I'm always going to default to the administration building. I think it's one of the coolest buildings there is. But also the middle of the Pfluger Fountain at Memorial Circle. Take them out there, let them hear the echo chamber when you stand out there and look at – you get to look at everything. Oh, you get so to look cool. out to Broadway, look up the key, look at the quad, talk about Carroll Lights, look at the admin building. That's the spot right there.
That is.
Michael, I kind of want to echo the Memorial Circle a little bit and probably the seal. I like, you know, because that would be, well, here's where you get your cap and gown, and then you come out here and you and 90 other people stand in line and wait to take a picture at the seal while cars are driving by honking at you. So that was kind of a fun thing. And then I graduated as an electrical engineering student, so I would take them to the basement in the EE building in the key and just say, is this something you really want to do? Because it's dark down here.
Oh, man.
And you're asked to be down here a lot, and you miss a lot of games and a lot of exciting, fun things because you're down in the basement working on the lab with no windows. So it'd be kind of a scared straight scenario.
Nice. There you go. All right, Jackson,
so,
let's hear it.
Being a political science major, the first thing I'm going to do is avoid Holden Hall at all costs, because I don't know if they've updated it lately, but I think – you know, there were some rumors of asbestos going around. Kids were dropping like flies over there. No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't that bad. But we used to, you know, joke around about Holden. So we're avoiding Holden Hall. And then, you know, after showing them around kind of some of the hot spots, like y'all said, the Memorial Circle, maybe take them over to the sub. I think we're heading across the street over there on University and checking out Bar PM. And if that's not great, then we're probably going to just keep going down to the Cottages Pool.
I like it. I like
Man,
it.
Man, all these places I don't know about. Is JPAT still around?
If we're going off campus, I'm taking them to Blue Light.
Don't worry. Hey, that's a question to come. Don't worry. That's a question to come.
Oh, man, I jumped the gun.
No, you're good. You're good.
It was a segue.
That's right. Segue into the next one. So, well, heck, yeah, let's do that next. Okay, so we're going to start with you, Jackson, since you started this thing. So, favorite restaurant or hangout in Lubbock?
Oh, let's see. Man, I hadn't... been a while. I'm trying to think. Favorite hangout? Blue Light. I mean, Blue Light's is a lot of fun. I'm going to say probably, you know, I hate to be that guy, that generic Tech fan, but, you know, Chimmy's is always fun. Good little spot to go to midday. Actually, you know, food is solid as well. So I guess that's kind of a twofer, you know?
Nice. Okay.
But, yeah, I'll go Chimmy's. chimneys are, you know, blue light's good. All just right. Kind of try to stay out of the heart of Depot.
Yeah, I got you. Okay, Steve, what do you think? See, we don't know these names, do we?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, Keith Abb and I,
we're old.
We're old school. So, I mean, I'm very sad that Great Wall is no longer there.
Oh, man, I loved Great Wall.
And, you know.
Don't laugh, Keith.
Guys, Crystals is gone too, guys. I'm sorry. What about Cowpokes? No, let's not
go. Do they still have Lubies?
no Lubies, yeah.
Dang it.
I mean, I used to love, like, from a restaurant standpoint, I mean, you know, One Guy's is good, Spanky's is good, but I loved Abuelo's.
Oh, yeah.
And still solid. Place we headed. So
yeah.
I guess it's still there, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Then it's okay. Spread around. Yeah. We've got one down in Midland, Odessa, too. So it's good stuff. So
good deal.
All right, Keith, what about you?
I'm going to go straight to it. There's no secret. Anybody that's anywhere close to me on social media, Blue Light is my place. The owners are good friends of mine. I've been going since college. We do a charity golf tournament together and all kinds of stuff throughout the year. I love it there. It's a home away from home.
Nice.
And I love live music and the people. Mm-hmm. It's a good spot.
I like it. Michael.
Well, I'm a sports bar guy, so I'm going with Cap Rock Cafe.
Nice.
That's a good one.
Either one's fine. The one on 34th gives you a little bit more of a vintage vibe, if that's what you're going for.
Yeah.
But, you know, some Down and Dirty Wings, Cheeseburger in Paradise, they're Texas Pecos Queso, their Cholula sandwich. I've kind of got their menu memorized.
That's gonna sound like it. Yeah.
It's one of my favorite places, and of course the Schooners are always ice cold.
Yes.
And it's hard to get me out of a sports bar. I can always find something to watch.
Right. That's good stuff.
Hey, real quick, Keith, the ice cold Schooners, I think, is like a Lubbock phenomenon.
Yeah.
Because I don't go to many bars where they serve beer in a schooner anymore, much less where it's so cold that ice is forming on your beer.
On the bottom of the schooner,
God,
too.
I miss that.
Yeah, I do, too. Yeah, but that's true. There's not very many around. That's a good point.
Well, that was always the fun part, too, was when was it going to fall on your lap?
Right. Right.
Going to happen.
It's so true.
I got spoiled on my first weekend, actually, whenever I was doing my visit. I got my cousin was going to Texas Tech at the time and took me to Cap Rock. And, yeah, I spent a lot of good hard-earned money over there.
Well, yeah. Maybe that's where I should have said I should take somebody when they're coming to check out Tech Campus.
Oh, yeah, Cap Rock's a good spot.
Hey, it doesn't mean you have to get started on the campus. You're right.
There was another – I'd heard back when I was in school that Waco has Schooners, but they don't call them that. They call them O's or something like that.
Big O's at George's, bro.
Yeah, it's
– George's Bar, like the Pat Green song.
Oh, okay, okay.
I've only been once, but they do have Schooners there. That's like one of the only other places I've been to that has those.
That's a chalice of beer. I mean, that's all it is. Yes. It's brilliant. So
a goblet.
A goblet. Okay, Michael, we're coming to you for this next one. Who do you consider as Tech's biggest rival?
Oh, man, this is always a good question.
I love this question.
It changes for me almost every year now.
Every weekend? No, I'm kidding.
It's pretty close, yeah. Sometimes it's like, well, who are we battling for recruits? Who are we battling for on the recruiting trail that, you know, they flip a coin and some of them come to Tech and some of them go there? Or who do we, you know, we fall and we play 6-6 each year or 7-5 each year or whatever. I'm kind of, for the last few years, I thought it was Oklahoma State. And you know, TCU could kind of be mentioned in there. Mm-hmm. Baylor could, just because it seems like a lot of us really don't like Baylor. But I think I'm going to go back with Oklahoma State, just because that for a long time that was kind of especially on the football side, you thought, well, they've got a former quarterback. He's making it work. Why can't we? And that kind of stunk. And all the signals and all that kind of stuff. And they're kind of the kid brother of their state. And,
true.
You know, baseball's had some head-to-head, some great matchups, even just this last year. I believe it was the Super Regionals. That was some great baseball to watch. The basketball team, you know, they had a rough year last year, but they'll probably get back going again pretty soon.
Yeah.
They're well coached. I would have to say them. I think across the board, it's kind of a coin flip game for the most part whenever Tech faces off against Oklahoma State.
Yeah, good call. Jackson.
Oh, that's you know, I want to – lean towards TCU initially, and that might just be more of a personal thing. I know anyone who's listened to our podcast knows, and I'm sure there's you know people in this feed that feel the same way, my disdain for Gary Patterson. And so it's more of just a personal almost vendetta against TCU. And I was at that game. I was in college for the one in Fort Worth where they like ran out of fireworks. I forgot the score, but it was 80-something to, I think, like 27. And that was left a bad taste in my mouth. But I don't know. At the end of the day, I might be another kind of the oddball out here, but I almost feel like, you know, everybody kind of – in a way it almost disrespects Tech. So it's like we just have this animosity for a lot of different teams. Like y'all said, it's almost like pick one, you know?
Yeah.
But I think if I was nailed down, had to give one, it would be TCU.
Got it. All right, Keith.
Yeah. I mean, I'm from the days, Michael and I were at school at the same time, like early 2000s. And that was definitely a time where we hated everybody almost equally, unless they were yeah. Texas.
That's how I feel.
And so, but I think parity is important, you know, for a rivalry. And so, yeah, you got to be competitive. So I'm not going to even pretend, like, I'm just going to totally focus on baseball as far as I'm concerned. And fair TCU enough. And Oklahoma State are the series. I mean, those are the guys you want to beat. They're along with Tech, generally somewhere around the class of the conference. And yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to look at any one school across everything and feel like we're consistently competitive, you know, especially with football being down. So
yeah.
I think that Oklahoma State and TCU, I too share Jackson's hate for Gary Patterson. And I kind of wish he still did the shoe thing just to hate him, I'm not going to lie. Matt Rhule is an ugly dude.
Yeah, he is.
As much as I had to see his tongue and him licking his face during that game, I was just done. And my wife hates him because his clothes are idiotic.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree. I hate that little whatever he wears.
I just call it a bib. It's just a bib.
Yeah.
It's a smock.
Yeah, smock.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
All right, Steve.
You know, for me, it sort of depends on the sport. I mean, I always want to, in football, always want to beat Texas no matter what. But, you know, right now I have a lot more disdain for Oklahoma than Texas. Just, you know, they're sort of bastards, but
right on.
But you know, when you look at basketball, though, I mean, it's pretty cool though to see that Kansas is our rival.
Yeah.
And,
And
it shows you just how far the basketball program's come along, and it's that, you know, usually our rival is usually the team that annoys us the most. And I hate how Texas treats us like the redheaded stepchilds.
Yeah.
And so you know, It's either Kansas or Texas or Oklahoma for me.
Got it. Okay. Here's one here. Keith, we've already kind of answered this question for you. Favorite building on campus that you said admin, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Okay. So I have this super nerdy hobby where I collect old school Texas Tech postcards.
Yeah.
Like trying to put the whole collection together of certain different runs and stuff. And the admin building ones are my just flat out favorite. Some of those old paintings and drawings and photos from the 20s and 30s are just really cool.
They're fantastic. Michael, what about you? Favorite building?
Well, I'm kind of at a disadvantage here. I was a transfer student. I went to the college down the road over. I'm a South Plains Texan.
Okay.
So I came over a little bit late. So I spent pretty much 90% of my time in the Key.
Nice.
And then I guess this is such a lame answer. Probably the Student Union building, because they rebuilt it while I was there. And I really liked what they did with it.
Nothing wrong with that.
I'll tell you, we interviewed Dr. Ethan Logan, who's the vice president of admissions. He had the best quote that the Student Union is the living room of the Tech campus. I thought that was awesome. Isn't that cool?
I like that.
Yeah, I like that too. Something different there. So, Jackson, what do you think?
Let's see. Does the Rawls Golf Course count? That's on campus.
Hey, that's me, that's a great place. Absolutely.
I was gonna say, I know Tech's got such a large campus. I took one or I had two PE credits. One was at the rec for yoga, which was great class, and the other one was for golf over there at the Rawls course. And getting to go out there, that's a really well maintained and good place to go relax and you know, hit the links. But I would say, as much, you know, kind of trash as I was talking about Holden Hall, I did spend a lot of time in there for you know, for my classes and for my major. And I will say that at the front entrance that you go through, they actually do have a really cool historical, it's sort of just a walkabout, you know, it goes in a circle and you can go around, and it's got all these murals, and it's neat. It's kind of like a little mini museum in there, and it's a pretty cool room. So I would say that's, a good spot to go check out.
It originally was the museum.
Oh, okay.
Holden Hall was Texas Tech's museum at one point.
No, I didn't know that.
I should have known that. That's
cool. Hey, learn something new every day.
I told you guys, nerd for tech history over here.
Very cool.
Steve, what about you?
Yeah, before I tell you, I played the Ross course once. I lost 4 sleeves of Pro V1 golf balls. Dude,
it's so hard.
Golly.
Yeah, it cuts you deep.
And sometimes it's just, I'm tired of looking for it in the grass. You just give up. this one's an easy one for me. Just had so many great memories, being the going band and everything, but it's the School of Music.
Nice.
It was cool that it was connected to back then it was called University Center, and now the sub, and it was just a great place to hang out. And is it
Music Building High School?
Yeah, it really was.
That's right.
I mean, it's met my best friends there, so it was just a great experience and a lot of good memories, and I always look forward to going back.
Nice. All right, so here's the last question. So who is your favorite coach, professor, or mentor, either any one of them at Tech? And I'll start with you, Jackson.
Well, I'm going to go with the cop-out because I, as embarrassing as this is to admit, my favorite professor, I can't remember his name because it's been 4 years,
right.
But it was, he's maybe the dean for the poli-sci and the political arts or whatever. But anyways, he was every class, he was basically a stand-up comedian. I got to go look that up because that's going to bother me now. And it was such a take it to fulfill my major prerequisites, but it was or my major requirements, I should say. And he was every class, man, was a hoot. Just watching that guy doing some stand up comedy. But I got to go with Chris Beard, man. I mean, even in a year like this, we talked about earlier how we're somewhat. Not a bad team by any means. We're just, got a kind of a wake-up call from the national championship, right. And we have some growing to do. There's a lot of pieces that need to be put together, and I think that it's this team can be competitive once we get into Big 12 play. But that the leadership that he shows on and off the court, I mean, I love watching his fireside chats. He's someone who markets himself and markets the school and markets this team so well.
Yeah.
And reaches out to all, across Red Raider Nation, to all different kinds of fans. And I think what he's done just in his short time here at Texas Tech has been, again, just it's really almost miraculous to watch. And so I'd say I got to go with Chris Beard.
Nice. Michael?
Well, I've got two answers. One of them is a little bit more personal. When I transferred from South Plains College, we did a campus tour and all that kind of stuff, and we met with our advisors, and I met with the electrical engineering advisor, and she pretty much just tried to scare the crap out of us, and she told us how many people start and then how many people fail and how what the failure rate was, not the success rate, the failure rate of the program and all that kind of stuff. And it did kind of freak me out, but she became a really great person to lean on, and she helped me get into classes to graduate when I needed, I needed a certain elective or something like that. She was super sweet and super nice, kind of once I was there for a year or two and she realized that I may not actually just drop out. So I think her name was Judy Patterson. She was fantastic, and she did scare the crap out of me the first time I met her, but over the years I think I won her over. She was really somebody that left a big impact on me. And then I hate to say this, guys, but my favorite coach might be the guy that we just fired. I wanted Cliff Kingsbury to win so bad. I was on board with that hire. I remember it was 12/12/2012. I was at my in-laws in Kentucky. I'd gotten all this stuff on my phone, and they're saying, "Oh my gosh, we're hiring Cliff Kingsbury." And I just thought it was the greatest thing ever. And I instantly gave him 7 years on the spot. And, I think it was time for the school to move on and for him to move on. And I don't want to get into any of that because that's
right.
I think the right decision was made, and it may have even been made a year or two too late, but
yeah,
he might have been my favorite coach just because I still root for the guy like crazy. I've watched way too much Arizona Cardinals football this year.
I don't think anybody can say they don't like that guy. I mean, he's just a class act.
That was the most graceful departure for a college football coach. I mean, people were, it's like losing a family member.
It really was.
Yeah, it's kind of, you knew it was right and you knew it was best for both parties at that point, but it's still just, it just hurts you a little bit.
It hurts.
Just hated it. Yeah.
Steve?
Yeah, I'll go with my favorite coach. I could pick a lot of different people, but I love the Coach Knight era at Tech. He put Tech on the map. It blew my mind that I could watch SportsCenter every single night, and they were talking about Texas Tech and Coach Bobby Knight and all that great stuff. It was what I think was the beginning of the evolution of Tech basketball, and he's a big reason why we have Coach Beard on campus now. And
true.
The only thing he did wrong was bring his son Pat to campus with him. But
I got to ask you, did you ever watch Night School?
I sure did.
Did you see that? I used to love that show.
That's awesome.
You ever watch a YouTube video of him trying to take golf lessons? And
no, that's I'm
look for it. I mean. You can't watch around family or young children because it's highly censored.
They just don't make them like Bobby Knight.
That's
they
right.
really don't. All right, Keith, get the tail end here. You're the last one.
I'm gonna take two. Also, I'll give you my favorite coach, and it's not just because of baseball. I just love Tim Tadlock. He's just a throwback, old school kind of guy. He likes to fish. He likes to sit around and just tell a story and drink a brew, and I mean, it's just my kind of guy. I like him. I love Chris Beard. I love the personality and all that too. I got a little bit of that in me, but I feel like I just identify with Tim Tadlock. He's got a biting, dry sense of humor. I like him. But I'll go personal on the professor thing. I actually came to Tech to be a music major, music ed, and that's how I got in the Going Band. And then I changed my freshman year to HDFS, and I didn't really have a lot of direction, and I kind of fell into a horse related certification and minor at the end of school. I stayed an extra year and did this equine science certificate. And there's a professor there that I really connected with. His name's Chris Wilson. And first thing I loved about him, he got his undergrad at A&M. Then he came to Tech for his master's and his doctorate. And he completely switched allegiances and became one of the most diehard Red Raiders I've ever known. And so, I mean, I fully support that, quitting on the Aggies and coming to Tech.
Right.
But he just took me under his wing. He really kind of expected a lot out of me. He gave me a path to grad school when I didn't have a lot of direction and didn't really know what I was going to do, and really just pushed me to be better and I think as good mentors and professors do. And he moved on from Tech, and I finished grad school and all that. And he was a young guy, but he passed away from cancer a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And so he's just a guy I remember fondly as somebody that had a big, impact on my time at Tech and on my time in the ag college. And just a dude that, you would hope that as a father, a guy, I hope that I send my kid to college one day and they find somebody like that, that'll push them to be better than they think they can be.
That's awesome.
Yeah, good tribute there. So as we wrap this up, I'm going to just want to give everybody a chance to just highlight their own individual respective podcasts one more time. So, Michael, turn over to you first. Just give us another quick heads up of how we can get in touch and listen to the 23 Personnel.
Sure. You can find us on Twitter at 23 Personnel. That's at 23 Personnel. You can find Spencer Rogers at Punts Suck. You can find me at Michael_LBK, and our podcast is available just about anywhere you listen to podcasts: Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, all that good stuff. Thanks again, Keith, for having us on. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, glad you could be on, Michael. All right, Keith, Patrick, and Dinger Derby.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Dinger_Derby. Pretty active there. Also have a Dinger Derby Facebook page. You can find me personally at Keith B. Patrick on Twitter. Pretty active there as well. And I post the pod on Staking the Plains, and then you can also find it anywhere else, just like Michael and all these other guys. You can find it anywhere there's podcasts. You can ask your Google Home or find it on Spotify or whatever it is. But appreciate anybody that's interested in subscribing, and looking forward to a season coming up. I'll have a couple of fall report episodes coming up with some guys that know a lot more about baseball than I do that are going to walk us through a little bit.
Looking forward to that, Keith. So thanks for the quality show you do. Jackson Griffin, Ramblin' Raiders, tell us about that.
Yes, sir. And let me start off by again thanking you, Keith, for having us all on. I know this has been a lot of fun. It's a good way to spread content to Texas Tech fans. I'm sorry I didn't hit my beer quota tonight. It looks like we're only at three, so
that's okay. Hey, we're still proud of you, man.
We'll have to work on that for next time.
We can stretch this out if you want.
Yeah. You guys want to go another 30?
You're right.
Yeah, let me say, you can find us. We're, you know, all across social media. We have, our Twitter is at Ramblin' Raiders. We're on Facebook at Ramblin', or it's just Ramblin' Raiders Podcast is Facebook page. And then on Instagram, which actually tends to be one of our kind of better sites, is just at Ramblin' Raiders. And we post a lot to our story, you know, vlogs and stuff of what's going on. We have a bunch of promotions coming up with koozies, and we're trying to get to T-shirts and things like that. So we're merchandising it. And yeah, we appreciate anyone that, you know, wants to go subscribe and give us a listen. You know, we're, like I said, kind of starting off, but excited to keep this thing going.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. We enjoy your show. Okay, Steve, Guns Up Nation.
All right, so you can find us on Twitter at Guns Up Voice, or you can find our podcast just about any place that you listen to your major podcasts out there, iTunes and all that good stuff. And, of course, on Facebook, you'll find the Guns Up Nation fan page on there. So it's a lot of fun. Certainly invite anybody that wants to join us in the Bowl Pick'em Challenge. Hop onto our fan page and join us there. That's a chance to have bragging rights on the Tech campus, plus Capital One's giving away $1 million. So, hey, not that we have anything to do with that, but why not?
If you win, dinner's on you. That's what we're saying.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Awesome. Yep. Steve McKelke, Guns Up Nation, Jackson Griffin, Ramblin' Raiders, Keith Patrick of the Dinger Derby, Michael McDonald of the 23 Personnel. Gentlemen, thank you. This has been a blast. I appreciate it. I'm excited about the future of Texas Tech. It's been a fun year. And I guess at the end, we've just got to give a big Rec'em Tech on three. You ready? On one, two, three.
Rec'em Tech.
All right. We want to thank everybody again for that great opportunity to get us all together in one spot. But before we go, guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. If you can benefit from extra function and more confidence where it counts, BlueChew is a fast and easy way to enhance your performance. Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code, ARMCHAIR. Just pay the $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code ARMCHAIR to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast.
Thank you for listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast and sharing our fandom for the Texas Tech Red Raiders. You can connect with us on Twitter at 23personnel, Spencer at PuntSuck, and Michael at Michael_LBK. And find even more great content over on stakingtheplains.com. Help us out by rating the show and leaving a review on iTunes and subscribe on whatever channel you listen to podcasts. Remember to tell your friends about the show. The guys will be back next week with another episode. And until then, guns up and let the tortillas fly.